Let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Everybody who's on sauce for not knowing who Jessica Alba is needs to back off and correct themselves.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Aaron Rodgers was like pointing to everyone in the room. He's like, do you know who that is? And I think it was like a joke because the kid didn't know anybody.
Today's guests, New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh, senior writer for Sports Illustrated Chris Mannix, from Prime Video's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, actor Kevin Pollak, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, it is time for the Rich Eisen Show here in the second week of May 2023. So much going on in the sports and real world. Rich Eisen Show right here on the Roku channel. We are live and free every day from 12 to 3 Eastern on all Roku devices. We are free on select Samsung Smart TV, Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, and the RokuChannel.com. We say good Monday to all of those listening to us on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network coast to coast. We've got tons of affiliates kind enough to hook up with us so you can listen to us. We're on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and our podcast. Check us out every single day. Why don't you? Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you on this Monday?
Great.
Good to see you, DJ Mikey.
Good
D.
to see you.
Mike Del Tufo back on the show. Hey. And TJ Jefferson, the candles. Like, good to see you here on this Monday, sir.
Thanks to James Harden, I'm happy to be here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been.
The
there,
beard,
just to be very
the Rich
honest.
Eisen Show beard on the beard of Philadelphia. All of them together right here on the program. Hey, look, let's start with the NBA. Coming on the air on this one. I love doing this show for so many reasons. I say that a lot. But I love doing the show for so many reasons because you never know what's going to be the top story. You never know what's going to happen in our crazy mixed up sports world. You never know. Figured all weekend long, maybe I'll come on the air and I'll talk about the Lakers. Being up 2-1, blowing out the defending champion Warriors in the downtown hoops dojo, bringing them into the crypto and bouncing them like they're some guy hanging in the Bahamas trying to avoid justice.
Whoa.
Bounced him. And we're not talking about that. No. Could be talking about the Miami Heat taking care of business against the Knicks, who get Jessica Alba's BFF, Julius Randle, back. And they took care of that business.
They did.
They're up 2-1. They're trying to go up 3-1 tonight. Same thing with the Lakers on the Warriors. Could be talking about that, but I'm not. Could be talking about James Harden, who you just mentioned, TJ.
Yeah.
James Harden, dare I say, bailing out the MVP of the association.
Easy now.
Yeah, taking care of business, though, in overtime against the Celtics squad that is pushing the Sixers to the limit.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. I could say that. Okay. You could say that. You just did say
I
that.
I did say
We're not talking about that.
No. Not to start with.
Could be talking about Landry Shamet going from Mark Curry to Steph Curry.
Boom.
I could say Tim Curry to Steph Curry. Where the hell did that three-point shooting? Guy didn't play at all in game two. Shot the lights out in game three when Devin Booker was shooting the lights out.
Tim Curry.
He turns into Steph Curry to help the Suns not the series with the one-seeded Denver Nuggets at 2-apiece. Kind of talking about that, but we're not talking about that because all we're talking about is Nikola Jokic tangling it up with the Suns owner.
Hey.
Matt Ishbia. Only one T in Matt. Lot of zeros. Lot of zeros.
Lot of zeros.
Lot of commas. Lot of zeros.
Lot of figures.
And Jokic is mixing it up with the owner of the Phoenix Suns. Pardon me. Governor.
Yeah.
Of the Phoenix Suns. And happened with 2.5 to go in the first half. Ball in the stands. Jokic is trying to grab the ball to start the 5-on-4 break because Okogie's hanging out in the second row because he just launched himself in there trying to get that ball. And there was a tie-up situation. There was a tie-up situation. Because the Suns owner thought he owned the basketball like he did the Suns. So,
I mean, doesn't he though?
He owns the Suns. He doesn't own the basketball. Maybe he thought he was back on the bench at Michigan State as the walk-on that he was in the 2000 championship team. Maybe he thought that there was a possession arrow pointing to the Suns. So he was grabbing on that basketball.
He had some PTSD.
Now, I know Jokic did kind of give a little bit of the business.
Kinda.
But Jokic, after the game, thought, who's this dude sitting in the front rows not giving me the basketball back when I want to start a fast break? Yep. This was Jokic, two-time MVP of the NBA after the game.
Nikola, what happened when you went out to get the ball on the side, and what was the explanation they gave you for giving you that technical foul?
He told me I was elbowing the fan, but the fan put the hand on me first, so I thought the league's supposed to protect us or whatever. But maybe I'm wrong. So we will see.
Did you happen to know who the fan was?
He's a fan of. He's an on the. I know who he is, but he's a fan, isn't he? If he's a setting senior.
Phoenix Suns owner.
Sitting on the court, and he's a fan, isn't he?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he's a. So whoever it is, and he's a fan, he cannot influence the game by holding the ball.
Do you worry that this may lead to a fine or suspension or anything?
Why?
Just if the NBA official said that he thought you shoved him.
Mm-hmm. But his hands on me, they're not going to protect me. They're going to protect the fan. I mean, they can do whatever, of course. They don't care, but I think they're supposed to protect players.
So, Jokic calls the governor of the Suns a fan, because for all he knows...
He doesn't know who that is in real time? Come on.
I mean, if you polled the players of the association, if Travis Kelce doesn't know who 90% of the NFL coaches are, these players definitely don't know who 95% of the governors are. They'll notice Cuban.
Yeah. And they know their own.
Maybe.
And although, would he be able to pick Stan Kroenke out of a lineup like our third-hour guest, Kevin Pollak from The Usual Suspects? I don't know. I'm assuming. And they'll know the Schmecky owner of the Knicks.
Maybe.
And maybe they know Ballmer. Maybe they know him because he's the crazy guy.
Maybe.
Probably like three of them.
He has no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his way of describing who he tangled up with.
A fan.
The Nuggets coach Michael Malone has another opinion. This is what Coach Malone had to say about this very subject matter after yesterday's loss.
I'm still not really sure what happened. I haven't seen a video of it. I think it's crazy that Nikola got a technical foul in that situation. He's going to get the ball, and some fan is holding on to the ball like he wants to be a part of the game. Just give the ball up, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, they deemed Nikola doing something that was excessive, I guess, and they gave him the tech, but I still don't really understand it.
This thing, the fans, the owner of the Suns, made any difference?
I don't give a I mean, I really don't care.
That was Brockman's reaction on our text chain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who cares? Mm-hmm.
No surprise that the governor of the Suns does not wish to be front and center of the NBA playoff conversation. This very morning at Mishpia 15. Great win for the Suns last night in an amazing series so far. ! That should be and is the only story. Suspending or fining anyone over last night's incident would not be right. I have a lot of respect for Jokic and don't want to see anything like that. Excited for game 5. Go Suns. 2 more! At the end of those sentences. Now, let me say this. I don't know the governor of the Suns at all. But I do like him for 2 reasons. One, he's not Robert Sarver. So that's number one. He's got that going for him.
Plus,
he's not Dolan, so there might be 3.
I'm just keeping it in the Suns box here. He's not Robert Sarver, so that's a plus. And plus, he's got a feud with Dan Gilbert.
Yep.
I like it. That's in the business world, because they are both going at it in the business world. Interestingly enough, it's Spartan on Spartan violence. Mr. Comic Sans of Cleveland is a big Spartan, which makes me kind of like him.
Certainly sitting on it. Certainly when he takes the Michigan head coach away from us and the basketball program and sticks him on his bench only to fire him within a matter of months. But that's just me. So I kind of like Ishbia if he doesn't like Gilbert, who, by the way, is the only governor who abstained in the vote to make Ishbia the new owner of the Suns. So bringing his own business problems into the world of the NBA. So I have a certain liking to this guy just right off the bat. Okay? So let me just say this. He's in the wrong. He is in the absolute wrong. Here. Because he grabs the basketball from Jokic. If he just gave the basketball up to Jokic, if he just gave it up to him, that's it. There's no shoving.
It's over.
There's no pushing. There's no elbow. There's no nothing. Just give the basketball up. Look at that video, right? Over and over again. Look at the video. And all you'll see is a tie-up situation. Would have been a jump ball. Just give the basketball up. You're the owner of the Suns, for crying out loud. You're the owner of the Suns. End of story. So I'm sure he's coming out and saying, I don't want to be suspended. I don't want anybody fined from it, because he doesn't want this thing to keep going on and on and on and on. I proffer to say I can't wait to see where his seats are in Denver.
Should they do him like Jordan Love's parents?
Just stick him out in the Raptors?
Just put him in the last row.
I like it. I like it a lot. But that's my take on it. Very simple. Give up the basketball.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Give up possession. What are you doing? So, my two cents on that matter. I think you agree.
I 100% agree.
You don't, though, do you? You think Jokic was in the wrong? DJ?
I don't know what I think, but after watching it, it's just, to me, it's kind of like a no harm, no foul at this point. Just reviewing it, guy grabbed the ball, Jokic went to grab it, he didn't see who he was at first, and then he saw it was him, so yeah, the second time, should have let it go. I just find it funny when people say he flopped, because trust me, when a 6'11", 275-pound Serbian guy puts his forearm in your chest when your legs already have a chair behind
you, that's,
you're probably going to go back. But other than that, no harm, no foul. I think it's a non-story. Let's just keep it pushing.
Oh, it's definitely not a non-story. It's the two-time MVP of this league getting a technical foul in a playoff game. Don't those add up too, technicals?
They do.
And so he got teed in a playoff game because a governor of the opponent wouldn't relinquish the basketball. And he just definitely made contact. And I'm with you, though, too, by the way. I have lost my balance because there is a folding chair seat directly behind the backs of my knees, and you can fall back easily. Certainly when it's somebody of Jokic's size shoving you. By the way, never been shoved by someone that size also in my life at age 53. So I can't speak to anybody's balance. But, you know, it made it worse because it looked like he was trying to make the situation worse for Jokic. Like, oh, my goodness, I'm a fan and I just got contacted by him. You should definitely tee him up, if not eject him. That's what that falling back, if you think he's flopping, communicates.
Gotcha.
That's why it's a story today. And he's trying to stop it. And all he needed to do in the moment was relinquish the basketball, because Jokic had a right to have it and hand it to the official. And then it's on the official as to whether the ball should be put in play. It shouldn't be placed in the hands of the governor of the Suns to determine when a ball should be placed into play. That's the issue today that he is trying to put to bed with his tweet. It's now in the hands of the commissioner, who I'm sure is calling him up today to say, hey, welcome to the NBA. Give the basketball up when it's in your hands. And I'm sure he's calling up Jokic and saying, hey, don't extend your forearm if you think it's a fan. Okay? We'll handle that situation. And I don't know what you say to the officials. I think the officials were right to tee him up. If they saw an actual, and we have a still photograph, he is throating Ishbia with his left elbow at one point.
Well, that's because that dude's like 5'8".
I got it.
That's why I feel like a fine.
Joker's 7 feet tall.
A suspension, no way. A fine is probably going to happen just because you can't have a player, no matter what, do that to a fan. But other than.
Yeah,
I'm just
a
saying,
fan touched the player. Like optically. Joker said, are you protecting me or not?
And okay. the fan is not giving up the basketball. Yeah. And he wants to get something going. He's got a situational awareness.
That he this guy's down. If we get the ball to the official, and to me, we have a 5-on-4 break.
Let's go.
Now. Let's go.
I know.
In a really tight game and a hotly contested series.
Correct.
Right before the half. What is this guy doing? Give me the ball.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. First up on this program, Robert Saleh of the New York Jets. Do I spend any of my real estate asking him if he knows who Jessica Alba is?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's a conversation piece. You know?
I don't know if you know, there's a lot going on with the Jets. Their schedule comes out Thursday.
Maybe.
Oh, it's not happening Thursday?
Peter King said it might not be ready.
What?
How?
I have been told to clear my Thursday schedule and have not been told otherwise.
Okay.
So this happens every year. Is it ready? Is it not ready? Stay tuned.
It's like waiting for a steak.
I'd be surprised if it's not happening Thursday.
All right.
I've been cleared for takeoff, just like the Jets.
Oh.
See what I've done. Chris Mannix is coming in here in studio.
Mannix.
So we'll shove him into the seat.
Wow. Whoa.
He's just back from Mexico.
Mexico, yeah.
I didn't see the fight, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went the distance.
There was a lot happening this weekend.
A lot went on.
We got it all covered.
Kevin Pollak is here. There was a coronation, by the way. Not with Kevin, but over I don't understand the royal family stuff. I just don't.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Thank you very much. That was amazing. That was my favorite part of that. That was my favorite part of the coronation.
Amazing. Then he came back from the.
Oh God, it was my favorite part of the coronation. You know, and it's really odd. It was really odd when the coronation happened. And then they said that Matt Leinart would be next. We're like, wait a minute, he's not. I thought it was William who was next. Matt Leinart William? Next?
Yeah. I thought Matt was from Southern California.
Coming up next.
Southern Essex. Well,
so there's that. Later on, we'll talk about which player in sports who's been waiting a long time to be crowned.
Yes.
Will get crowned this playing season. Do you like that?
Woo!
Overreaction Monday, Kevin Pollak and more. We'll take a break so we're on time for the HC of the NYJ. Robert Saleh, the man of the hour, coming up next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Robert Saleh is about to join us from the New York Jets, the J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah, so following up what Peter King said,
yes.
He said it's probably going to be done for Thursday at 8 o'clock, but it may not be finished in time. They're still trying to hammer out, you know, the opening Thursday, Sunday, Monday, Thanksgiving. There's a Black Friday game this year. Obviously, Christmas Eve and a triple header on Christmas that Monday. So, you know, Peter's source is saying might go up until the 11th hour. 272 games.
You know what? It's going to happen Thursday, I think.
Just saying.
I think so. I mean, everyone's got plans for it. I have plans for it. I have plans. So, hey, I've got plans.
All right.
Right, Mike?
I'm just saying.
When you have plans,
I love the schedule release show.
You do, do you?
I kind of, because it's Fox. It's like I get to
the
find
schedule
out
release show was the first show we did.
Yeah.
On NFL Network, where we made something out of nothing, and did we get roasted for it?
And then everybody did it.
Roasted.
You
for
did.
It. We
yeah.
got
yeah.
roasted for it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Who cares? Who cares if the schedule's out? We already know who's playing who, and you're making something out yeah. of nothing, and now everybody's doing it.
Now they make it crazy.
And now it's a whole big to-do.
I'm just worried if it's not done in time, what is Francesa going to do for programming?
Well, Francesa's not on the air anymore. And so we would honestly, it was omerta. We couldn't say a word to anybody.
And then
the Jets and the Giants would leak their schedule yeah. to Francesa. The Giants yeah. would be the one to
Giants
do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
But we'd be
walking around NFL Network saying, we're trying to create something here.
Yep.
That everyone's making fun of, and then everyone.
The Pope is.
What am I doing over here?
Reading all the secrets.
Like, would you tell us to go get our shine box? Honestly. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Before we get to Robert Saleh, I just want to say in my opening take about what's going on with the Suns and the owner's beef business wise with Dan Gilbert, I had no idea. That Dan Gilbert's son had passed away over the weekend. None. And I appreciate you guys letting me know that in the middle. So if any of my sports criticism of Gilbert was taken by you as being insensitive, I had no idea. So my condolences to the Gilbert family. Just wanted to say that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joining us, one of my favorite people to have on the program, and that's because I like him very much, and boy, am I rooting for him. I'm just straight up saying that. The head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach?
How you guys doing?
Oh, hey, come on. Hey, sounds like you got a pep in your step. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie.
You know, anytime the players are in the building, I get a little bit extra pep.
Okay, where are we? We call it phase two? What do we call this part of your year
phase
right now?
Phase two. Okay. So we're on the grass, a lot of individual, no one-on-ones, no team, but just guys moving around and just executing technique. That's about it.
Okay, and so much conversation about the quarterback, obviously, Coach, and whether he's going to be there or not. What is your sense of Rodgers' participation of the spring this year for the Jets? What's he told you?
Well, he's here. Okay. You know, and I know he's got a couple things planned that he had planned prior to ever being traded. So, you know, just to be respectful to all our guys with regards to prior obligations and family stuff. So he's got some things going on, but he's here. He's present. And when I say present, I mean he's fully engaged. And it's really cool just to watch him operate from play to play in his communication and the way he works from position group to position group in terms of explaining things. Like I said, he already knows the system, and so now it's kind of trying to help everyone get on the same page, not only with him, but with the coordinator, the whole line, and It's been fun. It's been really a cool thing because we still have a young roster, but this offseason we've been able to add a lot of veterans, so it's that little mixture is a pretty good combination.
Well, I mean, the adding of veterans on the roster, was that from the vaunted list or not, Coach? The list? What do you got for me on the list?
No, it's okay. Part of it's Hackett too, you know, like sure. Whenever you bring in new coaches, and I made mention of it the other day, and I feel like sometimes we try to demonize the quarterback when in actuality it's very common. You know, you've got a new coordinator, he worked with Lazard, he worked with Billy Turner, he took Billy Turner with him to Denver, you know. So he's got guys that he's comfortable with that he wants to continue working with, and the quarterback has some thoughts too, and I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be kind of silly if your Hall of Fame quarterback has a comfort level with somebody and you don't answer that bell. You know, just I think it's counterproductive to what you're trying to get done. And if we work, you know, there's an old saying: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's in communication. If we're truly going to preach communication and being on the same page, and we're going to listen to everything.
Well, I just want you to know, and I'm sure you guess this, I don't care. You get whoever you want that makes him comfortable. Honestly, I do not care one whit because you've got to do what you want to do and what you need to do. And if it makes Rodgers happy and it actually fits your system and your offensive coordinator, then go for it. But did you, I mean, again, was it ever written down on a piece of paper or did you ever have a conversation like, hey, who are you interested in? Joe Douglas ever tell you they had that conversation? At all, Coach?
No, I think, in all honesty, nothing's ever been written down. It's just come in, we're watching tape, and suggestions are made. And, you know, some of the things that he suggested had already been brought up from Hackett. You know, he'd already, before all the trade talks were even talked about, when we were doing free agency, when Hackett first got hired, he brought up guys that he would love to bring in to help accelerate the installation of the system. And so there was a lot of overlap. It was just very easy to make these decisions. And some guys we haven't been able to bring in, and some guys we have. And it's been really good, transparent communication between coaching staff, front office, players, and I think because of it, we've been able to have a very productive offseason.
And in terms of communication, while the Rodgers conversation was being had between the general managers of both the Packers and the Jets, my friend and colleague from Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer, wrote in his column that you and Matt LaFleur, who go way back, right, best men at weddings and whatnot, You guys agreed to just not talk about this situation while it was happening? Is that a true story?
Yeah, Coach? Absolutely. You know, I have such a high regard for Matt and his family, and it's pointless. You know, we just made the decision to let Joe and Goody do their thing, and we just coach the football teams, and I lean on him, and he leans on me once in a while. We have such good, transparent dialogue with regards to head coaching and thoughts and things. It just wasn't worth allowing this transaction to kind of get in the way of that, if you will. And so it was just an agreement that we made, and that was it.
So was that like at the coaches' meeting in a text on a phone, just like, hey,
That was way before.
Okay,
you know, it was just. We FaceTime each other all the time. And
okay.
We're talking. I was like, and both of us, it was really like a very organic way, just let's agree not to talk about this and let the GMs do their thing.
Okay. So it was like Fight Club. You said, like, Rodgers became like Fight Club. You don't talk about it. Basically, what it was like.
Okay. Pretty much.
Well, and again, you've been around Rodgers trying to stop him. For many years in big, huge games. What have you learned, Coach Saleh, about Rodgers now that you've been around him as much as you have and now that he is your guy? What have you learned so far about Aaron Rodgers that you might not
know? One of the biggest things that we learned was actually 2 years ago when we went down to Green Bay and scrimmaged against him in practice and just to watch how he practices and how vocal he is. And his demand for perfection. And so we, Ken already knew that, but to have him here and just that veteran presence. Because, you know, in my career, you know, Matt Schaub was a fantastic quarterback at Houston. We go to Seattle. Russell was still young, so I was there for the first couple years of his career.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Jacksonville, and Blake Bortles is early in his career. We go to San Francisco, and Jimmy, technically, he was early in his career, even though he was a little bit more vocal because of what he learned from Tom. But he was as a starter, just there for 2 years, and, you know, he had an injury in there. And then this year, and then we come here, and Zach is early in his career. So to have a veteran quarterback kind of grab the reins and the communication and the level at which he does it, and it is a pretty cool thing because it's a new experience for me too, just being transparent with regards to the experience of a quarterback, the experience that of that type of a quarterback to be in the same building. And so he's been fantastic. Now again, it's the off season, so everyone's happy. There's no adversity, and so there's, you know, there's a lot of patting on the back, but right now everything's been great.
Yeah, and I'm sure you saw him. He's taken in Ranger games, Nick games, you know, and Sauce is there, Lazard's there, Breece Hall's there. I mean, Jessica Alba's there. I mean, this is totally different now, Coach. This has changed, no doubt about it. The whole business.
Yeah, but he's a big city guy at heart. I mean, he's. And he's been good. I think he's one of those guys that can kind of take it all in, and it's not too big for him. So it's been good.
Okay. And have you gone up to Sauce and said, well, how do you not know who Jessica Alba is? Have you done that yet, Coach?
No, okay. I let them have their personal life is their personal life. Okay. I usually stay out of that one.
Okay. There you go. All right. Robert Saleh of the New York Jets here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more minutes left with the HC. Is there something up with Mekhi Becton? He tweeted out he wants to be – he is a left tackle, and then he deletes it. And your response was go essentially earn it, if I'm not mistaken. No. Did I get that right?
No, you know, there's nothing to that. I mean, it's I love his competitive nature. I love that he wants to be a left tackle. I love that he wants to be – and that he's vocal about it. But at the same time – no different than anybody else on this roster. We have to earn our keep every day. And if he keeps approaching the offseason the way he has, and he keeps, you know, he looks fantastic, everything about him, a big smile on his face, he's a good mental headspace. If he continues to attack it the way he has, I have no doubt that he will earn it because he's a special, special talent. But the one thing about this league is it can humble you very quickly, and there's just a... You have to have the mindset to not only earn your keep, but keep your keep. And it's just something that he's been approaching every day. And so there's nothing to that one. It's just more, just a subtle reminder, I guess, for all of us that it doesn't matter what we want. If we're not approaching every day to attack and get what we want, then we're just not, we're really just kind of spinning our wheels.
All right. And then again, I know this is not part of your flow chart, but where are the Jets and Quinnen Williams right now on signing him long-term? Where's Joe Douglas on that front? Do you know?
You'd have to ask Joe. Very okay. Confident that Joe will get it done. Like, I'm not, I know the reports are flying around this weekend, but he'll get done. I'm not worried about that one.
Okay, and Breece Hall, what do we expect from him week one of the season? I know it's the first week of May. I got or some first.
For sure, he looks good. It's almost like we have to slow him down because you want to make sure that when you pace those things, you don't want to repair him too quick. But he looks powerful. He looks good. He's hitting good numbers. His GPS numbers when he's running and. So he's also in a really good headspace. He's been here the entire time. Obviously, he didn't go anywhere else to rehab. He rehabbed here, which obviously I'm biased. So I think the organization knows you better than anybody. And so they've been helping him through that. And he is on track to be ready for week one.
He must have been psyched that he got a college teammate as his new teammate, first round draft choice of the Jets, I'd imagine.
Right? How could you not pass rushers, man?
Right.
Take all of them.
what'd you like about him? There's evaluations. You evaluated him, and Joe Douglas evaluated him, and that's all that really matters. But you know, a couple people in my business were a little surprised that you took McDonald where you did. What do you got for me on that front?
You know what? It's all on what you value. Mm-hmm. And you know, first and foremost, we're always going to take the best player available when it presents itself. And I think what surprised everybody is that, you know, you can make an argument that best available wasn't a need. Well, it doesn't change what you do. It just, for the last 2 years, everybody we've drafted seemed to be a need, you know? So it was always best available happened to fill a need. So it seemed easy. Well, best available now doesn't necessarily mean you need it, but you never want to pass up somebody who you think can change a game for you. And when you look at pass rushers in this league, it's a passing league. And you look at a guy like Will, who's got ridiculous length, ridiculous bend, a ridiculous get off. And as he continues to mature and develop, once he gains his power, he's going to be very, very, very hard to block. And he is every bit of, when you look at him, just the Randy Gregory's, the Brian Burns, he just has this movement, bendability, flexibility and all that just is elite. And there's nothing more. I've always made the argument that you could have a Hall of Fame back end, corners, safeties, linebackers, they could be Hall of Famers. But if your D-line can't get to the quarterback, then you're going to be very average on defense at best.
Well,
on the flip side, you could have an average secondary and an elite D-line, and you're probably going to be elite on defense. So you're always just trying to make sure that we can come at you in waves and get the quarterback on the ground.
And I know that's your philosophy, and I love it. And I know my next question might make it sound like you're not excited to have this kid. But, you know, a lot of us in the media thought you were going to go for Broderick Jones. And he was on the board right before you. And the Patriots let the Steelers go and cut the line. And as I'm hosting the draft, in the back of my head, I'm like, of course they did. Of course the Patriots let them go ahead and take the kid that the Jets was, and I thought you were going to take. Were you thinking that too, when the Patriots let the Steelers hop right in front of you? Was that the conversation
in
the draft?
The difference between 13 and 15, mm-hmm. and the way the everything shook out made no difference to us.
Okay.
So.
All right.
You can throw that one.
All right. Is Tippmann going to be a day one starter? You think? The center for Wisconsin.
He's going to be day one competitor.
Okay.
In terms of competing with Wes and Connor for that center spot, but he looked good in rookie minicamp. He's a big boy, and
he is.
So I'm excited to see those three go at it.
All right, Coach. I got to be honest with you. I think I've done a pretty good job of not jumping out of my skin this entire conversation. You want to evaluate me on this conversation?
No, you're always fantastic.
I appreciate that. I gotta appreciate that. I mean, I'm just seeing these young Turks take to Rodgers and him to them, and I understand it's just the first 2 weeks and it's a new marriage and this is the honeymoon phase and we haven't played any games yet and things like that, but I'm seeing it. I see Sauce, I see Garrett Wilson catching from Rodgers, and I'm just, and everybody's telling me, well, they got to win the Super Bowl now, so I'll throw that in your lap. What do you say when you hear that sort of conversation about Rodgers being there at age 38, pushing 39, and all of that? Because I don't know how to respond to that, but I'm jacked that this is entirely a possible thing. What do you say to that, Coach?
So, you know, it's you acknowledge what you have in front of you, mm-hmm. right? And you acknowledge what you have for the future, and you acknowledge expectation. Those are all fantastic. But really, there's a difference between acknowledging what you're capable of and then bringing yourself to the moment and dominating the moment so you can get to where you're capable of. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always good to kind of look to understand what you're capable of, but you quickly have to have the discipline to bring yourself back to where your shoes are, where your feet stand, and to know and ask yourself, what are you doing in the present to help you build to what people expect out of you? And so that's what our focus is, and we don't have to win anything but this moment. And if we're winning this moment, then we'll trust that we'll win the next moment, and the moment after that, and the moment after that, until it comes time to play football games.
Because, I mean, I assume that's your message to the team, because when the schedule comes out, we're expecting it to be Thursday, there's going to be lots of coast to coast. I mean, Rodgers in Dallas, for crying out loud. I mean, that is, you, you, I mean, I don't know if you're expecting to be away from home on Thanksgiving, but that reeks of a Thanksgiving game or even a first Sunday nighter. Mahomes in your house and Hurts in your house. My gosh.
Herbert and all of them. It's going to be, I know for TV and fans, it's fantastic. And we got a lot of really cool games coming up. But none of it matters. None of it matters. You got to take care of your own, do your best, and you trust that your best is good enough.
Coach, really appreciate the time, as always, as you know.
I appreciate you guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. You be well, sir. And say hi to Sauce for me. You know, he's my favorite, as you know.
I'll give him a big old hug for you.
Will you do that? Well, be careful, because he's probably wearing that very, very shiny chain that says Sauce. That might hurt you. So be careful. I don't want anybody getting hurt. It's the first two Mondays in the May, okay? Take care of yourself.
Appreciate you.
Here you go. Right back at you. That's Robert Saleh, head coach of the Jets, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There you go.
How you feel? Feel good?
Oh, I do.
It's May 8th.
You want to give me the time, the traffic and weather together? It's the on the ones?
Sure.
I mean, is that what you want?
I'm just here to remind you what day it is.
I understand that.
All right, cool.
I didn't. I asked him the question you keep asking me. You got to win the Super Bowl now.
Huh? But what's he going to say? He's a coach. And we got to win each day. And one game at
I know
time.
That.
And we just can only play
I understand
on
that.
Schedule.
I understand that.
But he knows what time it is.
Which is what?
Got to win time.
Oh, yeah.
You got this guy for 1, maybe 2 years.
That whole business. You know what? It's unbelievable that you're saying that.
No, what do you mean?
Because when Brady was 38 to 39, would you have said you only got 1, maybe 2 more years out of him?
No, because he still looked awesome in the playoffs.
Right. Oh, God.
You want him to play till he's 50. Brockman thought trying to be. He did.
Can you put up a photograph of Aaron Rodgers?
He looks great.
Honestly, I don't know. Did he do something to his hair?
Like cut it.
Right? And he's
a little dye situation?
No, not a dye. No. I don't think he's JFMing. He's just got
that number 8 looks weird.
An elite hair situation.
Yeah, he's always had elite hair, yeah.
No, but I mean, I don't know. This guy looks like he's not going to fall apart. You know, and he also is enjoying the moment. Like, he's not using the Jets as a transfer portal to somewhere else like Favre did.
True.
And so...
He's also won the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's done everything right. He's everywhere. He's showing up.
But to your point, the next 2 weeks we want him to win is weeks 1 and 2 of the NFL season.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
so far, so good. You know... Put up the schedule. You know, or at least the opponents, you know first 2 weeks of the Jets season is going to be... a division game, they'll throw the Bills on the mix, and then they could start them at home, they could start them at Dallas, they could start them in Kansas, at home against Kansas City right off the bat. Rodgers versus Mahomes, Kansas City's got to be week one. That could be week two. It could be their home opener, bus throwing them to Dallas on the road to start.
That could be Monday night week two.
That's a tough schedule.
You know what I mean?
They could throw Amazon a little bit of a – throw them a freaking bone. I don't know.
First Thursday?
I don't know. I don't know. That would be pretty rude to do a short week.
See Aaron throw some lasers.
Chiefs would have a full week.
It would.
Yeah.
That would not be fair. Forget that. Scratch that.
And this is why Peter's like the schedules. Let's figure this out.
It's all done with computers. It's not like
the old with the board and the
chips that they would put on the board, the tags they
concerts,
put on the board.
Concerts, events, cross-reference.
High holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sukkot with Aaron. That doesn't happen in the fall, by the way. That was just, I like, Sukkot is funnier than Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur's. There's nothing funny about that. So stop it.
I have no idea what
I understand that.
Yeah,
the Jews out there understand what I'm saying.
Got it. Jay Fell is not here today.
All I'm saying, though, is why can't Rodgers play till he's 45? That's the way I'm looking at it. One game at a time and hope for the best. Here we go. Maybe Rodgers is going to give Brady a run for his 40 money, his 40-something money. It's 1 to 2 years. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Save it.
Sorry, folks.
Thank you. Save it. All right. 844-204. Oh, by the way, we have a new hell going on.
Oh, a word?
Yeah. Oh. It's close to your home, sir.
Uh-oh.
Coming up next.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Is it true your dad's a Jet fan?
Yes. I mean, such a Jets fan that he has a Jets tattoo right here.
Oh, my gosh. When did he get that ink? Was he inspired by Richard Todd's play in the 70s? Or was it Ray Lucas in the 90s that caused your dad to get that ink? What was it? Do you know the story
here? The big thing about my dad and being a Jets fan, and I was once a Jets fan, now definitely a Giants fan. 1969.
I grew up a Jets fan. And go on.
Yeah, just 1969, the first AFC team won a Super Bowl, the year my dad was born. Born in New York. Growing up, everyone loved the Giants probably a little bit more. So he kind of just went the other way, being a Giants fan. He kind of passed it on to me. So I grew up being a fan of Curtis Martin, Thomas Jones, Chad Pennington, the Mark Sanchez era with Rex Ryan and those guys. So I think he kind of got it probably maybe like when the Mark Sanchez era was going. I don't think he did it because of that.
Sure.
He always had a passion. He always wanted to do it. And one day he just made up his mind. He said he's going to put a Jets tattoo right here.
I don't know what I'm freaking out about more. The fact that you could be a Jet. You were living and dying with the Jets while I was living and dying with the Jets. Or that your dad and I were born in the same year and you could be my son. And I've got a 10, almost 8, and a 5 at home. And this is not about me. It's about you, Saquon. But so was your dad disappointed that the Jets didn't take you?
No. My dad was happy that, you know, he see his son living in his
dream. Or didn't get a chance to take you.
Oh, yeah. But he was happy, just like I was saying, his son, him and my mother, very fortunate to have both parents in my life. You know, I've always went to them and told them what I want to do and what I'm passionate about. And they always give me great advice and try to show me the way what I got to do to get to my dream and live out my dream.
All of our show sits on our YouTube page. Check it out. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, back here on our radio simulcast with the Rich Eisen Show stream on Roku. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Chris Maddox is going to join us in studio in person coming up next hour. Lots to talk about with him. And game 4 tonight here in Los Angeles. I'm sure he's going to Lakers hosting the Warriors in the downtown Hoops Dojo. And so he will be there, as will both teams. And Chris Brockman's favorite conspiracy theorist referee, Scott Foster, is there. Now, I'm confused as to what his role is tonight. Will you help me?
Oh, you know what a role is.
No. Excuse me, because you are the king of he wants the best situation for the NBA. Now, hold on a minute. The Lakers losing tonight to extend the series, as you know, he's a professional extender. Hold on, before you tell me what his role is tonight. The Warriors winning tonight to extend the series, which is what the NBA wants for its partners. But I believe you would think that the NBA would want the Lakers to make the finals. That would put things in jeopardy. The Lakers would have to win another road game if they drop one tonight. So what is Scott Foster's role? Like, what has the NBA told Scott Foster to do tonight, since that's what you think is happening. Chris, can you help me enter your beautiful mind and tell me what's happening?
Let's go Windhorse real quick.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
Rare double win for the league tonight.
How so?
All, of course, as you said, Rich, great for the league if the Lakers win this series. Great for the league if the Warriors win this series. Scott Foster has one job and one job only.
Hold on.
Extend this, baby. Extend. We want seven games of this.
But why is it great for
Warriors
the league?
Warriors big tonight.
I don't understand. Why is it great for the league for the Warriors to go back-to-back when the Lakers the Lakers going on a run for the ages that nobody saw coming, and LeBron, after a couple of year absence, wins it all in Los Angeles.
That would be much better for the league.
Don't you think?
Oh, also much. Yeah. Okay.
I don't understand. And that puts a Warriors win tonight puts that in extreme jeopardy.
Oh, totally understand your point. Also good for the league. Oh, Steph, back-to-back titles. Is he on Mount Rushmore over LeBron? Does he pass LeBron in the all-time rankings? Stephen A. Smith said LeBron off of Mount Rushmore, Steph in.
Okay.
If another title for the Warriors.
So it's
a win-win. Scott Foster, though. A lot of whistles tonight.
For the Warriors.
Okay. Warriors big tonight.
Okay. I'm glad I found this information out.
You never knew, did you?
I didn't know. So, and how is this communicated to Scott? Did they blink twice?
They let me tell you what.
They sent three-eyed raven?
It's a three-eyed raven. Yeah, that's a good one. Do they write it on a piece of paper, right? And then email him the coordinates. It's underneath a trash can out by a rest area in Rancho Cucamonga. Mm-hmm. So he's got to spend an hour plus traffic time to go drive out there, look underneath the trash can and say, whistles for the Warriors tonight. Extend. Or it just says extend.
Extend, yeah.
Extend or end, right? Isn't that what it would be? Extend or end, right? So
brief 30-second phone call out of payphone, just catching up.
That's it.
Killing time.
Clarence speaks.
Extend. Style. Yes, the crap report. Yes.
Clarence speaks, so goes to a payphone because there's so many of those around.
It's a manila envelope in a parking garage.
Yeah.
Across the street from crypto, that's too obvious.
A little too obvious.
Okay.
Look, when Anthony Davis has two fouls in the first quarter tonight, look, just tell me I told you so.
This guy over there.
I've seen too many
games.
It's
whatever he wants to read into Scott Foster. Scott Foster is a tool of the NBA.
Yeah.
Even though on the floor, he seems to have a mind of his own. Right?
He knows what the mind is.
Oh, my God.
He knows what the number is, and he knows what his mind is.
You have to give him respect for the fact that there's hills that this man will die on.
And this is one of them.
And this is one of them. Yeah.
He's looking at us like we're crazy for not being of the same mind as him right now.
Mannix knows what I'm talking about.
You know who won't say that?
Chris Mannix.
Thank you.
Rogue referee my ass.
Hour number two coming up right here on The Rich Eisen Show. More insanity from Chris Brockman and Chris Mannix on the program.
Next year, that's my fantasy basketball team's name. Rogue referee my ass.
And if you don't think the Knicks are winning tonight, you guys are crazy.
So it has nothing to do with any, like Jimmy Butler.
How's Foster controlling that?
Yeah, exactly.
He can't be two places at once.
Who's there?
Zach Zarba.
Is he on the take two?
Are your words.
Allegedly. He's not.
Hold on a second. He's not saying Scott Foster's on the take.
Oh, okay.
He's saying he's in the tank for a group of individuals pulling the strings from the headquarters of the National Basketball Association.
So essentially, Scott Foster's Pinocchio and those people are Geppetto?
That's a very good, you could say that.
Okay.
You could say that LeBron is Kukla. Steph is Fran.
Who's Ollie?
And Scott Foster is Ollie, who runs the whole damn thing. You could say that. You could say that.
You're saying this.
No, you could say that the Lakers are Cookie Monster and Scott Foster is the hand of Frank Oz. T is for tanking, and that's good enough for me.
F is for.
Wrong word. This wrong guy. Word. So again, I just don't understand. Scott Foster,
extend.
He got the message
extend.
Tonight.
Extend.
Got it.